Welcome to Podcast, your number one source for Harry Potter news, theories, and discussions. The Terminus 2008 edition. And now I'm pleased to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John, Sue, and Frack.
It is Podcast 165, people.
Woo!
We're good.
165. We are inching ever closer to that 200. Can you go? Can you believe it?
That's crazy.
I can't believe it. That's where we have to stop.
Not true. I'm Melissa. I'm here with John and Sue and Frack. People, we have for you the first part of number of two. Count them, 2 weeks of Terminus.
That was amazing.
Oh, yay.
All you Terminus people.
That may be one of my favorite live shows just because of how awesome our intro and wrap-up was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was it was
fabulous.
Just a really
wait till you hear
show.
It.
That, what good sports those Wizard Rock guys are, man. We were trying to think of some
fabulous.
Fun stuff. What was it, like the day before the show? And John just looks around and says, wait a second. Didn't Tyler do the bass line and Alex do the guitar
exactly.
for the intro? Said, yeah. Alex goes, well... Aren't they both here?
Yeah. Aren't they both, so. Like, musicians that could just play it with, like, 10 minutes notice? Yeah.
Actually, what's funny about that is Brad Mellenbacher, who did the drums in the live show but not in the intro, he's one of the Dracos in Draco and the Malfoys. He literally had never heard it before. I went to go find my iPod.
Thing.
I didn't have a... Okay, yeah. Well, I had no podcast on my iPod because it had just been wiped. So we had to go out to the line of people, literally, half an hour before the show, found this really nice girl who was listening to her iPod. I said, is there any chance you have podcast on there? And Bradley looked at me like, come on, Melissa,
like,
look at the
duh.
Crowd. You're testing.
Yeah.
Of course she does. And so she gets the iPod. He listened to it for 2 seconds. He goes, da 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 da. Okay. And went, and boom, perfect.
Talent.
You musicians
awesome.
Astound me.
Talent.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
So, yeah, it's really cool.
Very cool. Good interviews this week coming up and stuff. Very cool. The girls from the Wizarding documentary and stuff.
Oh, that's
cool.
Right.
That's
yeah.
right.
That
and
was
we
really cool.
and more music from
and they're
Mud
twins.
All good things. But we got lots of news too.
Yes, we do. You know,
a lot of good news.
Yeah,
we happen to have a lot of good news.
You know, you heard about the movie. They kind of like changed it till next
There's
year.
There's a movie,
really?
But yeah. But believe it or not, there's still new stuff coming out that some of the merchandisers are saying, well, that's fine, but we're still putting out our stuff.
Darn
in, like,
right.
In the UK and France. Yes, they did. They put out the calendars for sale already. And so now we have just a whole slew of new pictures of, it looks like it was, Ginny's in her bathrobe. And now before everybody starts freaking out.
Oh, that's
out,
hot.
I know.
What? No.
Why did
no.
you give that to John? Why did you just give that to John right there?
I know,
bathrobe.
I just couldn't resist.
Come on.
She is. She's in her bathrobe. But she's out in the weeds, though, with Harry and Arthur and Tonks and Lupin. And the big on the big bottom of the calendar says, danger at the Burrow. So.
Is that because she's in her bathrobe or because there's like attack approaching?
You know, John? I don't know. No.
So is
no.
Ginny selling drugs out of her bathrobe at the Burrow?
What? No.
Something about weed.
Something about weed in danger.
Oh, my God, you guys.
Oh, boo. But no, so we
good
have
effort.
So many
good
new...
Good effort, Frankie.
It was. But, you know,
well
it's cool because you can see a new shot of actually in the Burrow, like in the corner of these calendar things, they, like, overlay photos of his stuff, and they have a new shot of the Burrow, so you can see that. And then we saw a young Tom Riddle, and it's really kind of cool because they put this shot of, like, the cave, like, cliffs of the ocean and, like, possibly where that cave would be. It was kind of cool, I thought.
That sounds
very, very
that
cool.
sounds sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ginny in the bathroom bit, to clarify, is when the attack on the Burrow happens. And this one, doesn't Fenrir make a comment to her, like, you smell clean?
Right.
She had to take a shower.
I'm just so pleased that we have such a fun little attack scene at the Burrow in place of the one that was written in the books that happened in the castle.
Well, they had to remind us that there was a war going on.
Yeah. And they didn't want to have it at Hogwarts because that would be boring.
Well, I can kind of understand, because they're going to do a battle at Hogwarts in the next
movie. That's true.
Well, they better.
That is true. Why take it away from this
That's
one?
That's true. So I guess, fiscally, if you were trying to destroy a set in a battle, you'd rather be, you know, something like the Burrow than, like, the Hogwarts sets that are more iconic and more having to be there for the next movie.
Next year.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't know, this is just off, but I don't know if you remember a couple months ago, the BBC ran footage of the stuff outside of Weavesden where they filmed it, and you can see the Burrow is just, like, sitting out there now outside the studio.
It's just chilling.
Kind of cool. Yeah.
Like a villain?
Just.
Aww.
Like,
villain. That Burrow's dangerous character.
Speaking of buildings, we saw a new building going up at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. It's the Hogsmeade Village. One of them's shops is actually done. It's up.
Wow.
It's so awesome.
Snow. It is cool.
You know, it just occurred to me recently walking down Main Street in Disneyland that are they essentially making their own Main Street with
look like I mean, it's haunted,
Harry Potter?
Right?
Yeah, so is it going to have the same kind of feeling, I wonder? Because look at the similarities there. You walk down a street with shops, and at the end of it is a castle.
Yeah.
That is true.
It's exactly the same as Disney, which is fun. I mean, I love that. I just thought that was kind of a funny similarity.
Well, it does because, like, if you look at these photos, and these are really good photos, you can see, like, they have the hanging things that look like in England. You know how they have to hang the signs off the metal poles off the front of the building and stuff. But this building says it's called Spint Witches, which I don't know
Spint
what
Spint Witches?
Means. Yeah, I don't know what that
is. I don't know where they got that name. I imagine it's from Joe, though.
Spint
She might have
Witches?
Given them names of more shops that are in Hogsmeade.
Of course, it's from Joe.
Yeah, I would think it would have to be, you know, her permission, right? I mean, that was the whole thing of them making it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys ever?
They're not going to make up something as big as that.
You kind of envision Joe, you know, when she's in the mode to make new canon, like sitting in like a particular chair at her house and putting on a particular cap and just, you know, squeezing new canon out. Or do you think it just comes just so naturally that she can just touch her nose and, like, come up with a new name?
I think it just comes to her.
Yeah, I think it's rather intuitive for her.
Yeah, I mean, she's a pro and all, but I like the visual of her getting in a little thinking chair.
What do we think spint means?
Spint?
What is it?
Spint. Well, spinsters? Spint you like witches. A play on the old, well, like, spinsters or something? I don't know.
Maybe. It's called Spint Witches.
Yeah.
So maybe it is, like, a bit, like, sounds like a clothing store to me.
It does. It does sound like that, too.
And maybe it's for the elderly witch.
Yeah, that could be, or
that's
something.
That's a weird
shop
to put in a theme park. It's oddly specific.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about in terms of canon.
Yeah. I'm just saying, okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
That's what's
about
her.
I just want to know where I buy my wand and where I buy the T-shirt that has the Slytherin tie already printed on it. That's all I want.
I'm sure they're getting ready to sell those on Mac.
Did you guys know that I dressed up as a Slytherin today when I went to see The Price is Right?
Never.
Of course you did
not.
I have my Slytherin scarf on. You'll see it.
You actually wore that on camera on national. It's going to be
on national television. If you look in the back row, when our good friend Matt Britton of MuggleCast and Leaky Mug last week got called down to play on The Price is Right, we were sitting next to him and I was wearing my Slytherin scarf.
Can't wait to hear this. I can't wait to see this. Okay.
Oh,
what's next?
That's probably number four right there. That's top news.
Totally. It's four and three quarters, John.
Yeah. Four and three quarters, totally.
Well, Fred can't
and now,
give
number...
his opinion because he's sponsoring this episode, so he's biased.
Right.
Sorry, Frankie, come on. Make a ruling. Number three, though, before we have some other big news, but one more thing, and it's not really unexpected news, actually, is that EA has officially announced that the Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince video game is going to come out with the film in summer of 2009.
Oh,
not really.
Shocker.
Yeah. Kind of a disappointment, though. I was kind of hoping, though, that EA would just say, too bad.
Yeah.
I feel bad for EA.
You know what, EA? Here's what you should do. Come up with a fun little online game, something just kind of maybe like kind of Harry Potter puzzle-y kind of thing, something fun for us to mess around with online, and find a way to make a little bit of money off of it. And give us something to do, give you guys some revenue for the year. But
they should open up a full map of the Hogwarts they've created.
Oh, that'd be for the iPhone.
Awesome. For the iPhone?
Now they can do it for the iPhone.
The iPhone.
And
you
for
and for the,
and for other
well,
people.
Just, I mean, put they've assembled the map. Detail it online for us. We'd have a ton of fun with that,
yeah.
And it would last us forever. And then it would help us play the game.
Ooh.
Yeah, they could do like a mini game with that, just like a mini explorer game with that. That would be.
Yeah.
That's what I do all the time anyway. I just zoop around the castle. I mean, that's my favorite part, actually. I have to admit it.
Yeah. Build up your online presence here, EA, for the fans.
Yeah, EA. Do
something
that.
To do in the meantime.
Number two. Let's see what happened. Something in a courtroom. Oh, that's right. There was a ruling, finally.
Oh.
Months. And the RDA.
Do tell more, Sue.
RDR WB case against, with Joe and the Lexicon book. And the judge has ruled in favor of plaintiff J.K. Rowling, and they have now halted the publication of the Lexicon book. Right, Melissa?
Yep. The ruling said that basically what Joe had been saying, which is that reference books are fine. You know, she showed some during the trial that she liked, but that this one in particular just took too much of her work verbatim. And that's what the judge really kind of focused on, though he was very balanced in his ruling, made careful note to point out that this doesn't mean that reference books should be halted as a rule. It doesn't mean anything beyond the scope of this particular book, which sort of has fans, I think, breathing some relief. I don't know if you guys agree.
Yeah, I agree. John does not agree. John wanted everything shut down.
No. I agree. This all seems to be in order. I mean, just remembering being when we sat and watched the whole trial all three days of it, and this all has kind of played out how I would have expected it to.
Yeah, very specifically, he said that the purpose of the book would be transformative, but that it hadn't gone far enough in making the actual book transformative. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, if the purpose, it's a valid purpose, but it's the execution is where it got in trouble, right?
I mean, there's right. Potential here for, if you wanted to spend some time and rewrite a lot of this, then it could totally be back in the category of okay companion books, and, you know, all would be right with the world. And I don't really understand why they didn't go that route to begin with. Other than that, this route was probably quicker, and they probably were fighting speed for something. They probably would have had plenty of time between all of this and now to have already done that, so who knows what we'll be seeing from all of this.
Just want to make sure everybody gets a chance. Sue?
I was just glad to see that the judge said that, you know, that there should not, I mean, this is a ruling, this isn't saying, he never said, oh, there should be no companion books or no kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Or, you know? And I think that there might have been some concern that was behind part of this, and it was not. I don't think Joe was ever saying, oh, you guys can't. I mean, we had talked before about Joe actually held up books that she actually liked, you know, and I think, you know, I don't think Joe was ever, that troubled me, that people were saying, oh, Joe is this, you know, tyrant that wants to control everything, and
yeah,
and
hilarious. Yeah,
and
when you,
I find, I've been reading a lot of the comments on this. And it's like, I've been reading disturbing, to me anyway, comments from people that are like, oh, I just think that, you know, it's very selfish of Joe for not just allowing this book to be an official book in the first place. And, you know, she's made enough money, et cetera, and she should remember how it feels to be looking for a creative outlet, not having much, you know, of your own resources, so she should share the wealth. But it's like, you know, this was a very important case, as she highlighted to be, of just being the right to protect your own work and your own intellectual property. And I would say that to say that somebody else should be able to, it's for her to just hand over writing the official book to somebody else because they had already, you know, gotten a lot of it done, you know, then why doesn't, you know, she let the extremely talented, you know, fanfic author who already wrote Deathly Hallows for her before she had a chance to finish her seventh book, you know, let's just say, okay, well then, here's my blessing. Now you can publish Deathly Hallows. It's like, it's her stuff. She can do whatever she wants with it. And it's not like a selfish kind of way. It's the fact that it's nothing more than she's earned.
And it's not really selfish at all. What she wants to do with it too is when she publishes these companion books, she typically donates to charity, the proceeds to a certain charity. So she's also protecting her own rights and protecting her ability to help these other people with her work.
Yeah.
And it's not just her rights that she's, that this is, I mean, a lot of authors would not, most, I would venture to say over 90% of authors in general wouldn't have had the money or the endurance to go through a trial like this, endurance, financially endurance in terms of support systems, to go through something like this in order to fight for their right over creative expression. And I have seen a lot of that in comments, not just on Leaky, but elsewhere, saying, like, it's good that she's standing up for writers because most of them are penniless.
Yeah.
You know? So that, I mean, and that's what's at issue was the verbatim, the actual,
right,
actual
right.
physical
right, but
that, copying.
That was
what
the judge said, right? Though, I mean, he wasn't saying the book as it is took just too much. It went too far. And he wasn't just saying, you
right.
know, no, you can't, you never can do it and stuff. He was just saying the book as is was too much. And I personally thought the judge was actually not nice to the RDR side, but I didn't think he was as hard as I thought might have, you know, some could have thought it was then, you know? Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, there was definitely things to take from that.
Well, in two ways. He didn't find them to have acted in bad faith, which would have been bad. That would have been that's kind of like slap in the face bad faith. It's like saying not only did you do this, but you did this knowing it was wrong. He found that they didn't do that at all, and he also minimized the damages because this book hadn't been published, so therefore, though he found that if the book was published, it would have caused J.K. Rowling and the charities that she supports irreparable harm, as well as her creative endeavor. Since it wasn't published, the harm was minimal. So he awarded the minimum he was allowed to award per book, $750 per book, and it's $6,750 total, which J.K. Rowling may just waive, or if it doesn't go to appeal, you know.
Yeah.
So.
You know what I found amazing, somewhat unrelated, was that they valued the books the way they did, and we have cases for, like, peer-to-peer downloading where courts have ruled, like, a value of one Hannah Montana song to be, like, $5,000, you know, have people pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in infringement and copyright-related violation fines, and the Harry Potter books are worth, what was it, $750 a piece?
That's not what they're worth. It's
that's fine.
The minimum he was allowed.
Yeah.
That's not how much you'd have to pay to get a license.
Well, certainly not. No, but it's just kind of amusing. But the other thing I was going to say was that I do think that this whole, the one nice thing that I think came from it was to get a really solid stance from Joe's side and from Warner Brothers about what derivative works and what kind of commentary pieces they are okay with, and they would even seem at some points to almost encourage it. They're very the opposite of not wanting them to exist.
Yeah.
And it's a nice
thing.
There's lots of creative people out there who it's good to know what the guidelines are and not have it just be this shadowy or, you know.
Even the RDR side said that they felt that it was a nice guide. The ruling was kind of a really nice guide to writing something that would not infringe copyright.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, he could have made a ruling that made it really hard for fan fiction to continue, that clamped down on copyright law, and he didn't do that. He could have. This was so dangerous for fans for so many ways. But it really ended on a nice mediate note, which I don't know, I think is nice.
I think it was awesome. It was very well balanced, and it was very thoughtful, I think, is the right word I want. Like, I think he really considered the circumstances and the situation and realized the context of the case and not just made this sweeping rule, it just like a black and white rule. He saw the gray areas and he addressed them. And I think it was, I appreciate that.
Yay.
All good things.
Okay.
Tune into Pottercast.com for Halloween to see my Mr. Hammer costume.
No. I can't believe you're doing that.
I'm getting a glue gun and cardboard, and I'm constructing a hammer head, a helmet to wear, and it's going to be amazing.
I told him he needs to wear MC Hammer pants.
No.
I you know, that could be clever, too.
No,
Hammer. Not Captain Hammer, though. Mr. Hammer, it's a difference. But the hammer is my head.
I used to wear MC Hammer pants.
Our number one story, you guys, this
okay,
is
so
I was actually, I'm thrilled with this, because I kind of known, I remembered that David Yates said that they were going to do test screenings for Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, and then when they moved, they changed the film, I thought, well, that's pretty much done, and then we kind of got wind that, oh, maybe they are actually going to come through this week, and lo and behold, yes, people in Chicago actually got to see a test screening of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince this week. Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Who was there?
And you know who I heard was there? Mr. Bearer of Good News.
Yes, he was there.
Alan Horn.
Yep.
I don't think a lot of people actually knew. Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to recognize him, to be honest.
Neither would I.
But we have,
you know.
Okay, you're gonna kill me, but Alan Horn, I don't recognize his name.
Said that
he's
the
CEO of Warner Bros.
Oh.
He's, yeah.
Oh, okay, makes sense.
He's the one that's been collecting a lot of ire from fans over moving the date.
Oh.
That's why.
Oh, okay, I get it.
Well, luckily we have a dedicated, thank you, Rachel. She wrote an extraordinarily detailed review and notes about the movie itself. It was just amazing. The following is about to include massive spoilers to Harry Potter and Half-Blood Prince. Listen at your own risk. John.
Warning.
Stop. Turn it off.
I'm going to mute you if you don't stop.
Wait, are you done?
That never gets old. Okay. We're done.
Right.
Turn it off now, people, if you don't want to know, because we're going to talk about it.
I don't even know where to start. There are so many things we learned that are definitely not in, like no other minister.
For me, that really helps me. Like, I'm going to enjoy the film so much more now that I know I'm not disappointed and have high expectations of things that I expect.
Yeah.
So I have more realistic expectations.
I mean, our report details, like, she takes it all the way through from the very beginning. So it does start out with the other minister. They start out with... I mean, Harry's flirting with a waitress after they blow up London and the bridge, and just, it's just, you know. You know, it's Hollywood for you, babe, let's say. You know, But there's no Gaunt. We should point out, too, but I just want to say it quickly. There's no creature, there's no Gaunt, there's no Dursleys, and no Trelawney.
Right.
There's no Trelawney.
See, you know what I find hilarious about this whole thing?
Yeah.
Is that this is an unfinished movie. There are unfinished special effects. There are shots that still have crew members visible and lighting issues. And yet, what was the statement that we had at the time the movie was pushed was that I've seen the movie, it's brilliant, and could have been released just fine.
I don't think they ever said it could have been released just fine.
Oh, I'm
pretty
sure.
He said something, it could have been released this fall.
I think he
was saying, he didn't say, yeah, I don't think he indicated that all the effects were done, but he said it could have been released, you know. Yeah. But I don't know that it was. You're right. The effects, she just said a lot of the effects are not done in the movie, but yet...
Which is a really big, important part of these movies. To blow it off casually.
But,
it's done. Like, whoa.
But she was really detailed about the inferiority, though. I mean, about how the effects for that were pretty much done, though.
Well, Alan Horn is the president of Warner Brothers.
Yeah, he's the big cheese. He was there, and David Yates was there, and I think... Yeah, and I'm not sure. I don't know if David Heyman was there. I think he was too, but I'm not really sure. I believe so. But they had they just had like these random people that sit and watch the film, and then apparently afterwards they did like a little test group screening. But our report is amazing. I don't know if you get a chance. She also there's two posts on Leaky, and then there's a long, very long thread going in our film section of our forum, and. That's definitely worth checking out.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's get into the details. Come on.
Well, where do you want to start?
Oh, boy.
Okay, so Harry, Ginny Snogs, Dean Thomas. Woo!
Wow. I'm surprised. I'm glad they kept that in there. I would have thought they would have.
They're snogging, actually, or they're just, like, together?
No snogging.
Apparently, they're snogging.
They're only happy when they're snogging, apparently.
But Ginny's not really into it?
I guess not.
No, she's not really into him, huh?
She doesn't get him.
She kind of just keeps her eyes open and, like, kind of looks over his shoulder.
So we also get a lot of praise for Tom Felton in this review.
Yeah, a lot of positive comments, you know, especially, I mean, I guess he did really well during the Sectum Semper scene and the, you know, on the tower and stuff. So, I mean, that's awesome.
That's great.
He even stamped Harry's nose.
I'm horrible at sounds. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, but then this is my favorite part. This is my favorite part of the everything is that Harry has over him on the train a Deathly Hallow, an item of mythic ancient importance that is almost an impenetrable cloak of invisibility. Who sees through it with something she pulled out of a magazine?
I know.
Luna Lovegood with her spectra specs.
Right through it.
I mean, come on. So something that the Quibbler actually came up with can penetrate the power of the Deathly Hallow?
Well, it makes me think that Mad-Eye Moody
that
got his eye out of a Cracker Jack box or something, because all of these little novelty devices can see through the invisibility cloak. Maybe that's one thing they didn't anticipate. So, I don't know.
You know, that's bang for your buck, man, the Quibbler.
Yeah, I guess so. More magical
power. She's deaf in one issue.
Luna's like a mystic, though, because like, she can tell Harry it was like Harry even when he was polyjuiced into like some cousin, whoever, in Deathly Hallows.
I would buy that she just knew he was there.
I would, too.
That she could feel his presence. It's spectre spec stuff. Come on.
I think it's just for the more casual fan moviegoer. They need some sort of device. So us hardcore fans know that it was just Luna's intuition and her sensitivity to her environment that helped her find Harry.
And being no mistake, we are hardcore fans.
True. True that.
What?
For the shores. That's why we love and criticize so much.
Well, so can we talk about, when we're talking about snogging a little bit ago, can we talk about the most important snog of the movie?
I suppose.
It's Harry Ginny.
It's kind of different, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
In the room of requirement, and she goes and she hides the book. Yeah, Ginny goes and helps him hide the book, you know, the potions book. So after all that happens, you know, the Sectum Semper and Snape's going to get him. They go and hide it in the room of requirement, and then she makes him close his eyes while she's hiding the book, and then she kisses him, and poof, she's gone when he opens.
That sounds very sweet, but I prefer the big, like, bam moment when he walks in and there's a celebration going, and he just walks up to her. Has that big old traditional hero moment and kisses her.
Wait, so is that
different?
The first kiss or just a kiss?
That's their kiss. The Harry Ginny kiss. That's their kiss.
Oh, that's interesting. It makes me think that it wasn't really Ginny. Harry just required a kiss.
Oh. Can you do that, I wonder? Is that something powerful that can get you company?
Oh, my God. Let's not venture down that path.
That's really funny. That's really funny, actually. I wonder, the two of them in the room of requirement, if what they both want or need the most right now is a kiss, if the room, we can imagine that the room exerted some influence over it.
I mean,
see, the room, really, I don't think the room can affect individuals, it just provides.
Right.
So it's...
Well, circumstances, maybe it's like Felix Felicis, a little extra courage. Mm-hmm.
You know, it could, like, create, like, an airborne potion. Like a love potion.
Speaking of love potions.
Yes! Spearmint toothpaste!
Very nice change they made, right?
Yes. I love it. I love it!
Somebody want to... Sue, what is it? Tell us what happened.
At the very beginning of the movie, like, Ron is, cleans off a bit of toothpaste off of Hermione's cheek, you know, like, okay, in the morning, or, you know, they're just, like, getting ready or something, and she just wipes it off her cheek. So later on, though, she says when she's talking, describes the love potion, she goes with spearmint toothpaste. Oh!
I love that. That's so, very it's nice. Such a cute little insight.
It is. That's a really neat little twist. I like that.
Now, did it say anything about the other potions being in the
Did they treat
the fact that Snape is the DA professor as a reveal like they did in the books, or is this kind of like, oh, no big deal?
I don't know. I don't remember ever reading about that part. There were so many other details. I don't know if it Snape is actually ever revealed to be part of it.
Because remember,
at the Great Hall.
That's the one thing I really enjoyed about the sixth book is the whole, like, we just assumed that he was coming to teach Defense Against the Dark Arts. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, he's the potions master. And we're like, and then we're like, oh, no, that means Snape's not going to be there next year.
Well, what there isn't in this film is there's no Trelawney, no Dursleys, no Creature, no Inheriting Grimmauld Place, no Dobby, no Bill, and no Fleur, no scenes with the Minister of Magic.
No
Gaunt.
No,
No,
Rotfang conspiracy.
No,
you know poo.
I think that's, that would have been funny though, but I guess the Weasley shop is pretty amazing though.
Yeah, that sounds. Cool. I'm so excited to see that. That's gonna be so much. That would have been so much fun to work on that part of the film. Just the props and the graphics and just to design packaging for Wizard Weasleys or whatever. Oh, so cool.
But Luna wears her hat, though. They said that she wears her hat.
She does.
I'm excited.
But she doesn't do commentary on the Quidditch match.
No.
I was sad about that.
No.
I wonder who's doing commentary instead. Who is there commentary by somebody else, I wonder?
There's no. I don't see
probably a la Prisoner of Azkaban, when you just kind of zoom in on the match for 2 seconds and everybody's zooming around.
Right. You know, that was interesting, though. Because the reviewer said that we were talking about Prisoner of Azkaban, that they said that this movie is much more cinematic in the way that Quran shot Azkaban.
Interesting.
And I thought that was kind of an interesting. I was not expecting that. Sorry.
I heard that Nigel is going to be doing the commentary on.
Oh, I'm so happy
footage.
For that. I like Nigel because I can relate to.
You do not like him.
He's like the audience. He's just there observing.
Well, I heard that they didn't want Snape killing Dumbledore because it would hurt Snape's role. So they're going to have Nigel kill Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Okay there, John.
That's pretty good. I like that one.
Yeah, Frack's going to steal your title.
That was pretty good. But actually, Nigel
People
is
would
in
never
the,
expect it.
No.
All right, well, anyway, we have the cave scene, also detailed on
the cave scene.
Looks awesome. I mean, those in Fury look amazing. Although, I had to crack up. She was talking about how he opens it, and Dumbledore finds her way, and he slips his hand, like, in a Klingon way. He does it in a Klingon way, straight across the inside of his hand. I just thought that was funny. You know,
how is that Klingon?
I don't know.
If you're a Star Trek fan, just...
Okay.
It's just,
I'm not sure Star Trek, but I hate the Klingons.
No. Anyway. I don't know. I guess the inferior are done. We were talking before about the effects and, you know, not being done, but that apparently they're done. And I guess that's pretty dramatic, you know, when the whole, they get,
yeah. I'm curious to see how they look.
Yeah.
I thought they weren't like,
gonna be
they weren't, they weren't fully CG characters. I mean, they were mostly based on human actors, weren't they?
I hope so.
I had read something about that before, because I think Radcliffe had said something about that earlier in one of his earlier interviews, that it was.
What? Are we talking about the
insurance? Yeah, but they're...
No, they're totally CG.
Are they?
Yeah.
Wait,
they're what?
They were actors, John.
But I thought that...
I forget that they were actors.
But I thought they modeled them, right? Didn't they, like, have, like, a person they stand in and modeled them or something? I don't know.
They modeled them. I mean, there was a full working 3D clay model,
Okay.
Of them. They look like... Actually, I think the way she described it is interesting. Like, Dementors, but, like, brown.
Yeah.
It's sort of, like, muddy. It's like vacuum sucking the moisture out of a person's body and totally mangling their face. You know?
So there are... They're just... They're essentially zombies. They're reanimated corpses.
Yeah, but they said the work is to make them not look like zombies.
Why don't I think that they were using like just a bunch of made-up contortionists and stuff? It's just kind of
I think they were using that for some of the modeling to depict some of the movement, because that is kind of it is very contortionist. It looks like maybe they were using people to like figure out how to make that all work, but. They created these things ground up.
Yeah. It's very intense, I'm sure, to do it. But, I mean, she was saying how dramatic that scene is when, you know, there's 10 people in the lake and he goes down and then that grabs him and how everybody jumps. And that's, so I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be really cool.
And then Schmeagle grabs him and pulls him back to safety.
He does. My precious. Give it to me, my precious. But they said, though, the reviewer goes on to talk about the Ring of Fire, how good that is, that Dumbledore does. You can conjure up that fire.
Yeah. Let me see how surprised I am that it's like the big giant effect and that.
Yeah.
That's going to be good. It's very different from how I thought it'd be much more subtle, like an actual rope fire, instead of like a huge wall of fire that we've seen in the pictures anyway.
Well, in the picture, you only see the one part. So maybe it's like that's when it explodes, like it's a ring of fire, then it kind of explodes to get them away, and then they run to the boat.
That's possible.
That's how I imagined it.
But we saw I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
No, I was just saying that it seems like the rope would be a little more weak of a defense. Like Dumbledore's weakened. Like it's magic he's struggling with. It's not like something that he has full control, overpowered spell But it'd be interesting to see how they temper that with the fact that he just quite literally killed himself slowly with that potion.
Mm. I don't know. You can kind of see a little bit of the fire. Remember that picture that USA Today released like right before the trailer came out? And they, so you can see a little bit of it, but, I mean, it's hard to determine just like how intense that ring really is. You know, just that flame is just kind of hard to tell. So, no.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then he says...
Well, speaking of I'm sorry.
I'm going to say, we hear the line, though, too. I'm not worried. I'm with you, right, Melissa?
Yeah, that's that seems to be in there. Also, when he gets to the astronomy tower...
John.
Does he say it with a straight face?
Yes, John.
Okay.
You're terrible. You know that?
That'd be funny if he's like, no, I'm just kidding. Let's get out of here.
Gotcha.
All right. Yeah, then we get back to the astronomy tower and Harry gets, like, he goes under the astronomy tower and he can see Dumbledore through the slats in the wood or something.
Uh-huh.
But Snape
tells him,
like, looks at Harry and tells him to shush, giving up the entire ambiguity of whether Snape is on his side.
Well, I don't know. He can be playing it coy and so, like, being smug about, like, don't say anything because you can't do anything anyway. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. Because if Rickman plays it right, it could be, like, it could be ambiguous. It could be like, is he saying to be quiet because I'm on your side or be quiet because you're next? Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Why does Snape even need to see him in the first place, though? That ruins that whole secrecy thing. That's the whole point of Harry hiding. And so, I mean, why is Snape seeing him in the first place if he's hiding?
But
you know?
Snape always knew, you know what I mean, that he was protecting Harry, and he was doing this for Harry. So, it's not...
But he's not supposed to give it up in any way. What a stupid spy to give it up to the one guy that whose mind he knows cannot be closed off to Voldemort.
Right.
That was the whole purpose of him remaining so closed off.
Yeah.
Tell Harry.
Exactly. That's
you know?
True.
It's the whole purpose. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. It's,
I'm going to have to see it.
I just wish they would think more of the people who watch this movie that we can get these subtleties. People can, and if you don't get the subtlety, no big deal. You're left in suspense like the rest of us until the seventh movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just ain't wrong.
And then afterwards though, Bellatrix says she casts the dark mark, but there's no, after the dirty deed is complete, there's no battle. There's nothing.
They'll just run away.
Well, if the battle took place before Dumbledore being killed, that would have been okay. But a battle taking place after you've been killed, thematically, would have been it would have taken away from Dumbledore's death. Because it's such a big moment. It's like Dumbledore died, now we have to watch his battle. It's more like, oh crap, Dumbledore's dead. That's the climax of the story.
After Sirius died.
I mean, I understand that, but you can have that moment, that subtlety of moment. I hate to bring this up, okay, but look at Lord of the Rings. You know, when the elf was killed on the top of the tower, in the two towers, and that was a really slow, sad moment, and then he died and he fell, and it was like, oh, you're really heartbreaking. But the battle continued, and they had to go on and save Helm's Deep. So too, they could, you know, I mean, this is Harry's story of him flying, trying to go after Snape, you know? So that could just be really dramatic and having that battle, you know, him charging through. So, I mean, I just think from a film point of view, it could have worked too. I mean, I get what you're saying, Frankie, but I just think it could have, they could have put it in. No.
Yeah. As long as does he run after Snape?
Well, I think he does because...
Yeah, he does. He does. Harry's the only one to chase after the Death Eaters.
Yeah.
There's no battle. They just kill Dumbledore and Bellatrix is very excited and they all leave. They're like, yay, party at Tilly's.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
And then his line. You're as dim as your...
Oh, yes. You're... What is it?
You may have your mother's eyes, but you are as dim as your father. I mean...
Hmm.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they're trying to do the whole mother's eyes thing. I get it, but,
they just,
you know...
force that in there. But I guess, like, I can appreciate the fact that they're trying to force that in there.
Snape never talked about his mother's eyes, and I think that's a prevalent point.
Yeah.
I don't think once until the end does Snape ever mention his eyes.
Right. So maybe they're going to...
Everybody else does.
Doesn't that kind of scare you, though, Melissa, though? I mean, that scares me because I'm thinking, if they're overtly bringing it up to attention in this movie, does that mean it's going to be they're going to make it sympathetic for Snape in movie 7? And I just kind of like... Because that scene, that, you know, let me... I don't know.
I will be very impressed. I hope that I hope it's done right, man. I'll be very, very impressed.
You know, seven. I've heard, you know, from reading this report and hearing a little bit from Eric, who had a chance to see it, the overall opinion was positive. And it is unfinished, and there still could be things that they could change. I don't know how large, but one of the purposes of showing the movie at this point is to get feedback on it and tweak it. So we could be commenting on things that may never even see the big screen again.
Very true.
The opinion is still at this point is pretty positive. So I'm heartened by that. So.
All right. Well, it has been a very long intro here, so let's move it on to the first part of our Terminus show.
Excellent. Right. Yeah, we're gonna play.
Everybody sound too excited at once. Jeez, guys.
Well, I didn't know.
We're gonna play the first clip of it, and then
the
rest of it.
The new.
I didn't hear you, Sue. I'm sorry.
Nah.
Are we doing the new opening now or at the beginning of the show? Because I love the new rock and stuff you're talking about with Alex and Tyler.
All right.
Okay, we're gonna
Terminus show part one.
Let's get our time turn around and go back to Chicago.
Oh, please. All right. Bye.
All right.
Hello.
Wow,
thank
we made
you
it
to our podcast band that we have around every
Yay
week, huh? Every week when they record, that when we record, they're just sitting there waiting.
Every time.
Whew.
Holy cow!
Wow. Thank you guys for. Where did you line up? All the way down to the second floor, or? Similar?
That's awesome.
Wow.
Can everybody hear us okay? Everything's cool?
Flashes.
Awesome.
Very good.
Well, we are Pottercast. You heard the intro. Thanks, Andy, for the intro.
Yay!
Woo!
I am John. This is Melissa, Frankie, and Sue, of course. And
Woo!
We are going to give you quite a bit today. We're going to squeeze as much as we can of our planned stuff into what we've got, and we've got some cool stuff to start with, actually. We are starting with, of course, talking about this convention.
Rocks.
How you guys liking Terminus?
How's it going so far, guys? How you guys liking Terminus?
Heck yeah!
Whole lot of fun.
I love the silence here. Here we go.
I can't do it.
It reminds me of the Muppets or something, you know?
The Kermit cheer.
Yeah.
We haven't been paying that much attention, but can somebody give us an update on what's happening in the Quidditch tournament? It just finished. Who won? The Trolls got third. Anybody know who won?
Who got first?
Oh.
Oh, I thought it was done.
Oh, it's still going now. So if somebody finds out during the show, just ninjas.
Oh, man.
Now that is a matchup.
Whoa.
A ninja and a werewolf? Who'd win?
Conundrum.
Who would win? A ninja or a werewolf?
Okay. Well, We have been having a wonderful time here at this conference. What are some of the things that you guys have been doing that you've been enjoying?
Well, that Wizard Rock so far.
Awesome.
Yeah, the Wizard
Holy
Rock.
Holy cow.
Yeah!
How many of you guys came the day early to do the whole day of Wizard Rock?
Woo!
Just about everybody.
Yeah.
And who was at Reggie's last night?
Yay! That was awesome. Oh, my
Reggie's
goodness.
Was...
And I saw snogging.
Snogging?
Snogging.
What?
Between who?
Between Draco and Harry. In the tree. G-I-N-G.
Wow.
Wow.
That was awesome.
You may not know this, but that was no stage kiss.
Woo!
Really?
Paul DeGeorge is turning all colors of red right now.
He's cool.
Cool. Very comfortable.
I heard there was Tom.
Yikes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I am.
Why wouldn't I be?
Well, what are you guys looking forward to? We've got a few days left of this awesome convention. Yeah. What are you guys looking forward to?
Reggie
More Reggies?
More
Reggie?
Reggie.
How about the ball?
The ball?
prominence. How about LeakyCon? How about a certain book reading later this evening?
A book reading?
Yeah, I hope you'll join me right after the podcast. I'm very nervous, so friendly faces are good. I'm doing a first ever reading of my book over in the Waldorf room at 9:30.
The Waldorf. Whoa.
Woo.
What will you be reading?
I will be reading some very special opening pages, and if I have time, a little bit that includes Joe.
Ooh.
Oh, my. So.
We don't care about the rest. Part with Joe. I get it. I do.
Is it any of the 40-page chapter on the house elves?
No. That's a very special surprise.
Excuse me. House elves. Helga, as the shirt clearly states,
I love this
did
shirt.
Not enslave
Stand Helga. Up and show everybody your shirt. This is pretty funny. I already have one in green made that says,
Yeah!
Woo! I already had one made in green that says, yes, she did. And I'm gonna walk around with next to you most of the time.
I want a run away from you.
That would be amazing.
It's called Flipendo.
How about a large? Work it.
You guys straighten everything out?
We're all good.
Provide this,
this is great. This is
I'm
fun
sitting here to buffer the arguments between the house elves.
All right.
It did not happen.
And you left me open to hit John as often as I like.
Aww.
That's great!
Woo! That's awesome. All right, so... Who has been submitting your ideas for Kind of Conundrums over at the merch table? We're going to do one now, but if you want to do it, you can do that throughout. We're going to do two more. So can we have our lovely assistants over there bring us over the bag? It's time for Kind of Conundrums.
The Canon Conundrum.
You probably, as you were filing in,
here comes
awesome.
The ever lovely Miss Chloe.
And Miss Chloe.
Chloe!
We had announcements at the beginning of the show put together by awesome Mr. Steed.
Why don't you?
Steed needs major applause because Steed is the producer of Pottercast.
Woo!
He's over there. He's been editing the show since like number 12 or whatever.
And
so
we have a whole contingent of Leaky staff over here.
Oh my
god. People from LeakyCon and just these are the people who make it work, so.
We have cute little Chipotle bags.
Quick, how we would have those.
Quick little Amber Alert announcement. There is a mom who is looking for her daughters, Sarah Kester and Laura Nerman. Please, if you're in here or you know them, please stand up and go see one of the volunteers at Terminus. We're just...
Sarah. Where are you? Stand up right now, Sarah.
Don't be embarrassed.
It's okay. If you go here, I will give you a button. You're embarrassed. Okay.
All right.
Somebody do the honor. Hufflepuff girl, do the honor.
Helga, let's pick a thing. What are we
doing? She also brought me Pellegrino.
No fair. Where's
and
my Pellegrino?
Well.
Where's my coffee?
Where's Sue's beer?
Woo!
Come on, I want some of Sue's beer.
We
got Sue.
Give it to someone who didn't have her glasses, Mike. Why didn't Lily and James have a backup escape plan?
Andrew Slack.
Andrew Slack is here? It is. From Andrew Slack. Where is he?
I think Andrew put that one in like 20 times.
I think he did.
Andrew has been following us around asking us this
away.
Question.
Well.
Which is a lucky thing because we've already thought about it.
I have an answer.
Who did it?
Yeah. Okay.
Someone's Trixie.
Well, he wants to know why they didn't have another way to get out if Voldemort came to Godric's Hollow.
We would not have a novel series otherwise.
Yeah. Aside from that big one there that would have made for a shorter series. My only thought on that is that they had other counter charms happening there. You couldn't apparate, you couldn't flu, you couldn't portkey, in or out.
I have something that's going to make people angry, but I'm just going to think that they were like not thinking he was actually going to show up because of the secret keeper.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to show up, and honestly, when that happens, deer in the headlights. You're like, your husband just died, he's after your kid, you can't think clearly all the time. You know, it's just... Yeah, out of circumstance.
And I just think it probably never occurred to James that he would run. I mean, I just think they would try and run.
I think
it's he's not going to run.
That's true. That's not in nature to run.
Well,
only to hide.
Just kidding, but that's the bold thing to do.
If you read the book, they might have had one. James says, take him and go. Take him and run. It's him. Go. She might have been on the way to carry out their backup plan
true.
Just never got there.
See, I think it's just neat that you have the parallel of the Godric's Hollow story. Of, you know, what can happen when you rely on your friends and trust your friends, and then how Harry needs to rely and trust his friends. in Deathly Hallows. So we see like two very big different results, and to have that event in Harry's mind about what can happen when you trust your friends like that, and the fact that he chose to do so anyway, says a lot about Harry. That's not. We good?
Are we done? Are we
I
settled
think
it?
So.
It's short. It's short.
I think
one,
we're doing bullet
one
fire.
Person's opinion. Who? It's not something we set up here.
Wow.
Ooh. Okay. Well,
okay.
Then.
Cool.
Well,
very
then
nice.
Let's move on, shall right. we?
Yes.
Move on.
All right. Well, who here was up at the what for a conference? It's the crack of dawn, 10 o'clock this morning, and saw the Wizard documentary. Woo! Woo! Well, Megan and Mallory are here to talk with us about it. So I know they're in here somewhere. Where are you guys?
There she is.
Hey.
Yeah, Mallory. Woo!
There they are.
What's up? Okay. I have seen the Wizard documentary. We saw it in Florida.
Yeah, don't be far away.
They had a screening at the SuperCon convention in Florida, and we had a chance to see it. And anybody go to SuperCon? Seriously. Very cool.
Wow, look at you guys.
Awesome. Yay, podcast. Okay, well, we did get a chance to see you guys' documentary. You guys did an excellent job. How long have you been following Wizard Rock, and at what point did it appeal to you as an interesting topic for a documentary?
We discovered it in 2004, so 4 years now going strong, but really in 2006 is when we started discovering just how deep it went. It was when we got through President's MySpace, of course.
Yeah.
So, and it was actually pretty shortly after that decided, hey, well, we're not musically talented at all. What can we do to contribute? I've always been interested in video, and Mallory and I have been looking for kind of an adventure to partake in. And so it just kind of all fell into place 2 years later.
That's awesome.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background? I know only one of you has some background in film. Can you give us an idea?
Sure. Well, I can try to speak up, too.
Yeah.
I had been interested in video for ages. I bought my first video camera when I was 13. I was one of those people who always knew what I wanted to do when I grew up. So I was kind of lucky in that way. So, yeah, it's always been an interest of mine, and Mallory being my twin sister has always been my
Oh, you're related.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I was wondering, though.
Like the Patil
sisters.
You're
so observant.
Yeah, a Ravenclaw and a Gryffindor.
It is just like the Patils.
You guys are like the Patils.
But yeah, so I mean, it was natural. I went into school for it. I went into broadcast management, actually. So it's a video background, not film, which is a pretty distinct difference. But I work for a production company now in Spokane, Washington, doing documentary style stuff. And this was our second full-time job.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Can you tell us what the most surprising thing you learned about the Wizard Rock phenomenon while you covered it?
The most surprising thing, the whole thing. I mean, the whole thing was awesome. I mean, we got to watch it grow from 30 bands with only a couple of them touring to 500 bands with multiple national tours, thousands of dollars worth, you know, of money raised for charities. I mean, it was just incredible. I mean, having Wizard Rock being mentioned in news articles along with talk about the Deathly Hallows release, you know, having, you know, our movie's title in an article alongside J.K. Rowling's name was amazing. And, I mean, just the whole phenomenon, getting to be a part of it and getting to witness all of it was just incredible.
So is the movie showing anywhere? I mean, we need to lead a rebellion out there.
That would be helpful. Okay. No, we're trying our best. I mean, we are literally a team of two, and it's been a slow process, but we've gotten a lot of interest from libraries. That's been one of our main focuses, is trying to get into as many library catalogs as we can. So if you guys have seen the film and would like it in your local library, that's the place to start talking to your librarians. And we are also planning on working with some more independent theaters. We had a week run in Seattle, which went really well. Which was a lot of fun. So just kind of still going the independent route, but it's moving along.
Totally. So you had to spend a lot of time with a lot of different bands, right? How many bands did you say that you followed along, like, on their tours?
As far as, like, main focus, it's about, I think we've got over 30 featured in the movie. But we've met more than that. We haven't like toured with anyone like I know most of you were able to go with the Georges for quite a while, which must have been really fun. No, but since we both work full time, it was mostly weekend trips, and so we'd go somewhere where there was maybe a couple shows going on where we could drive and see multiple bands. So we didn't get to spend huge lengthy amounts of time, but like we've seen the DeGeorges a handful of times now in a handful of states, and same with several of the other bands, which is really awesome. But like great follow-up. Yeah, get little pieces along the way. But if you've seen the film, you'll know that there are some that are more like shorter character pieces where you kind of get a glimpse of a particular band, and there's others that appear throughout the story as part of the progress of the movement. So, I mean, you'll see Alex multiple times, and Brian and Brad and Matt and Drama and Pep. And so, yeah, it's you get the story arc, but you also get some nice character pieces. Jeez. We're better at sharing than you guys are.
We are not good at sharing.
Okay. I'm just curious though, how long did it take though? I mean, that's an incredible amount of footage. How much did you actually shoot?
It was nearing about 90 hours in my last job.
Wow.
Yeah. We didn't even digitize all the concert footage. There's probably well over that actually. Yeah, I did bits and pieces for what we knew we wanted. I mean, we went in with a plan as far as specific topic points, different songs that we thought would fit in well, and so we tried to be, you know, as organized as we could so it didn't get too overwhelming. But yeah, I mean, the hours and hours just organizing footage and deciding where do you find the story in this mass of information and all these amazing, interesting people. It's hard to decide what's cut out.
Well, I mean, the Wizard Rock story has been now told in a million newspapers, on television shows, on MTV, here and there. I mean, it's kind of, no offense to the Georges, it's said over and over again what happened in the beginning. The two boys, you know, they played a show in their backyard. How did you avoid falling into the "we've heard this before" trap?
Well, honestly, a lot of it came from our own curiosities. I mean, it's like we wanted to get beyond that too. And so luckily everyone was very generous with their time, and we were able to sit down and have really wonderful in-depth interviews and then take the cream from there. So we really, I think we were trying to focus more on where it was going than where it started. I mean, we glimpsed on that, but it was more about the year leading up to the Deathly Hallows and the fandom in general, as well as the growth of Wizard Rock in that year. So,
well, thank you guys. I wish you so much success with the movie. And the website is wizrockumentary.com. There are DVDs available to buy. Right? It's wizrockumentary.com?
It's Wizard Rock.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's wizrockumentary.com. You have DVDs available for order, and they are downstairs in the vending room. You can get your T-shirts and DVDs. Thank you, girls.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you very much.
He's afraid.
Hey, good work.
All right, who put in for the County Conundrum? We're ready for another one if our lovely assistants would bring us up one. Here comes Chloe.
Come on, Chloe. You are the next contestant. We got two fun little bags here. We have a Canon Conundrum bag, and we have, what's the other one say? Are you smarter than John Noe?
Who here is smarter than John Noe?
I am.
Oh, gosh.
That wasn't that loud, actually.
Well, they're smart. They are cautious because they don't know.
All right.
But let's do a Canon Conundrum. So who can pick?
Who can pick?
Who wants to pick? Anyone up front? Right here. There you go. Grab one.
You can do the next one.
So excited. How did Dumbledore get his scar on his left knee?
I just realized the fundamental problem with doing it this way.
What's that?
Who are you smarter than?
No, this
is... No, this is an Are You Smarter Than
Emo Dumbledore.
No, he's not!
This is a kind of conundrum you pulled out of.
No, that's an Are You Smarter Than John Noe. He says that we...
Oh! This...
We're playing...
It is a kind of conundrum, so I apologize. Okay,
yeah, kind of conundrum here.
How did Dumbledore get the scar?
How did Dumbledore...
I don't remember the context of that one.
Remember in book one, Dumbledore alludes to the fact that he has a scar on his knee that is like an exact replica of London Underground.
Right.
Which the only time I ever gave that a second thought was how
it's like Prison Break.
Yeah.
I only gave that a second thought when we found out that Harry had the scar from writing, you know, I will not tell lies in his hand with a magical device. And unless, I always thought
he
Dumbledore
used to work for the London Transit? They put it in to remember, like, what?
I don't know. I always thought that that was just a joke. I didn't
Dumbledore
think he actually
can be kind
had
of cheating
that.
From time to time.
Yeah. That seems like a Dumbledore joke.
It's a tattoo.
But if
That'd
we
be
had to
awesome.
Speculate, I would imagine, yes, he probably had, like, a map in his pocket and got hit by a curse, and it transferred it onto his name.
That would be cool.
Yes.
I like that one.
What do
we'll
you
take that one.
So wait, it imprinted his knee? He had baggy, like, shorts?
He fell on the floor, and or he had in a robe pocket. Robe pocket, I don't know.
He was wearing cargo pants.
Yes.
Yes. I could see Dumbledore's
yeah.
cargoes. It's pretty good. Are you guys satisfied?
I like that.
You want to do one more?
Let's do one more.
Don't
Sorry, so
Chloe.
Far away, Chloe.
Chloe.
Yeah.
No. He says scars can come in useful. I have one that is a perfect replica.
Yeah. That'd be a crazy birthmark. Chloe.
Are we tripping?
Don't be tripping. All right.
There's a problem with doing Are You Smarter Than Don't Know, you understand? Who put in the question?
Well, oh, good! You are smart.
Wait,
okay.
The person who asked the question is going to know the answer, or they wouldn't ask the question. So it's going to be picked at random.
That has not been my experience.
We'll have a question, and then...
My bad.
We'll have a question, and then we'll be able to call up somebody to play with me, and then I will guess, and then they will guess. And then that person will see if they're smarter than me. But Amy Snow, 21, from Ireland.
Ireland? Woo! Where is Amy Snow?
A Gryffindor would like to know, where are all the musicians in the books at Hogwarts? Not movies. The Grimmer requirement doesn't count.
All the what?
All the musicians.
Woo!
Well,
they're
all
rock.
In the Muggle world rocking out with Wizard Rock.
Yeah. Well, they do. They have the Weird Sisters, and they have
Celestial Warbath.
You mean like, are they talking about like some kind of but club? Like there should be a band?
Like the Hogwarts Froggy Choir, whatever that
yeah.
was.
The frog,
not
giant
the movie.
Frog. Who tends to the frogs when they're not being used?
Oh, I think they're... Hagrid.
That'd be a really annoying job. They'd just be singing all day. Hagrid waves sticks at him.
All right.
Keep it down.
Well,
I don't know. This one's hard.
No,
What's that? Yeah.
Yeah.
The music
what happened
Someone
there? Were there cutbacks? Like,
somebody
come
needs
on.
To help save the music at Hogwarts. Maybe we can put the HP Alliance on it.
The HP Alliance, what I'm sure would love.
They'll lead the charge.
Hogwarts
right, well,
is lacking in the
How
arts.
Perfect. I love a good segue. How
Ooh.
About this? Speaking of music, Claire here has been surprised by some new ones that you bands here that you may or may not have heard of here, right?
Yeah.
That made no sense, but you know what I meant.
Yeah.
Well, one of the bands that we've been most pleasantly surprised by lately is the wonderful Mudbloods.
Yeah.
Here, we're going to hear a song right now, and then we're going to talk to them for a little bit. So if you guys would please come up, that would be great.
That'd be awesome.
Surprise
yeah.
set from the Mudbloods?
Surprise set!
The Mudbloods, an acoustic set. This is awesome.
We can move if you want to come up here. It's all good?
Yeah, let's...
Yeah, we can move out of
come
the way.
Come on up. The better question is, how are we going to hear them? You sing loud. We can hold mics for you guys. That'd be fun.
How about somebody would volunteer to hold the mic for
Who
that?
Wants to hold the mics for the Mudbloods? How many do you need? At least three, right? Here.
Hey, everybody.
Hi. Well, here's
hypocrites come flying in the morning and leave me here alone. And if I wait here long enough to meet them, I know my day has come. Take me flying in the sky, I'll be singing hallelujahs out loud. I'll lift my arms and feel the winds a blowing. I'll laugh loud and raise my horn. With a little bit of love and with a little bit of light and with a little bit of sunshine and with a little bit of time, you know that I'll be gone. And when I reach my destination shore, my cave out by the sea, I'll sit all day by my fire drinking whiskey till I know my name is clean. Ooh. Ooh. And with a little bit of love, and with a little bit of light, oh, with a little bit of sunshine,
guys.
Thank you.
No, thank you, honestly.
No, really. Thank you.
We're going to play this game? We're going to play this game?
Crack will beat you.
Too cool with your sunglasses on.
Are you going to speak?
He doesn't speak.
He can't break character.
He's a mysterious guitar player.
Yeah. Every band needs one, I guess.
Maintain the image.
That was awesome. I think a lot of you guys, a lot of people here are learning about the Mudbloods recently, but maybe some of you are very new, so can you tell us a little bit about yourselves and when you started your band?
We're from Texas.
Woo!
and we started almost 3 years ago now, or almost 2 years ago? Three, probably. And it was me and two of my roommates, neither of which are here now. But we would always sit on our porch, and I don't know where to look. Is it audience? Am I talking to you?
Audience.
Where's the camera?
There's a lot of cameras.
How do you say that? Cause now,
But we'd always be sitting on our porch late at night talking about, well, I kind of got him into the books. And so he'd finish a book and we'd talk about Harry Potter and then pass around guitars and talk about, anyway, eventually they just combined themselves.
So, I mean, I really like your music in the sense that, one, it's freaking great, but two, I think that you put a lot of, like, musical effort in it. So did you have a lot of training or is it just kind of like, I practiced.
I grew up doing like choir stuff and sang in choir as long as I can remember. So, and then I was actually a music major my freshman year of college, before I decided that wasn't for me. But so yeah, but there's definitely that training. I did like all the competition stuff in high school and all that business.
But do you write, like, you write the just lyrics and you do both?
No, they kind of, yeah, they complement each other.
That's the chicken or the egg question.
Yeah.
I think it's different for each person. Lyric.
So who are your influences?
Tyler. Tyler.
Everybody always says Tyler. That's the third time I've heard that. Alex said it the other
He's
day.
He's a pretty
too.
Influential guy.
When you hear when our show from Detroit goes up, you hear.
Yeah.
That day everybody said Tyler.
So, okay. You have a little song about Cho, don't you? Cho Chang.
Yeah. We have a song about Cho.
You, is that she one of your favorite characters? Or
no. What, how was I introducing it? We'd introduce it, say, this is a song that everyone used to have a crush on, but nobody really likes anymore.
But it's got a fun chorus, so you just go with it, right? Well, are you really seriously yourself?
We got in the van one day because we had a spider in the van. I don't like spiders.
Now, what is your...
Well, we don't have to make a deal out of it.
It kind of is a big deal. Now, just to be nerdy, what's your favorite Harry Potter book and favorite character from the series?
I really like book 5 a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, but I feel like the last 3, like, as a blocker, kind of indistinguishable from one another. But, and Snape is usually my favorite character.
What house would you say you're from if you had to pick? If you had to.
Had to.
Had to put you on the spot.
I usually say that I probably would have been a squib.
Oh, no.
But that's really confusing because you can't, I don't know if you can be a mudblood and a squib.
See, that's yeah, that's tricky.
That's, that's a problem.
True.
And why?
That's called a muggle.
So why mudbloods? Where did that come from?
It sounded cool.
Did you know
we
that?
Didn't realize until like a couple of weeks later, like after we had posted stuff online and stuff, that the name of the band is kind of a racial slur.
It is a derogatory term.
So, but then, did anyone go to Rockstock this year? So after I played my set at Rockstock, I played like some of my Muggle songs within the set. And so then I was talking to Andrew Slack, who's already been mentioned today.
We can mention
Andrew.
See how good that was?
Very nice.
And,
segue.
He came up and asked if the reason we were called the Mudbloods is because we mix the wizard and the muggle music.
Oh.
And I said, no, but from now on, yes. That's exactly why we named our band.
Andrew, like nobody else we know, is good at finding those connections. But
I got a question. So you've played with your heavy background in music, you've played in other bands. Not to do with Harry Potter, but you'd still consider this kind of stuff real bands, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
I would say we are a real band, yeah.
Just needed to clarify that. Very cool.
Okay, well, this real band will be back later to do some more music. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, guys.
For now, we're going to play a little game that's new.
Ooh, a new game?
Well,
a
no, if you've been listening to the podcast, it's not, but...
Relatively new.
Relatively new.
Alex, come back.
Is that that game called Guess That Book?
It is that game called Guess That Book. Woo!
So wait,
who thinks they're going to win this game?
Who wants to play?
Josh is a leaky staffer, so...
Yeah.
Well, the fine print when you sign up.
He's not winning the dream suite.
You're not eligible for the dream house that you win.
It's okay.
Okay, no, it's okay. You can play. But
I want to bring up a line of people so it goes faster.
Yeah,
so raise your hand
yeah.
if you want to play or start picking me out of the audience, okay? All right. Socks. Very cool socks.
Hufflepuff, by the way.
All right. Let's bring Josh up here for now.
Yeah, Josh.
Come on, Josh. Come on up. You can get in line.
You want to
play volunteer? Volunteers can play. How about over here? Sweater.
Well,
Stripe you, right
the
there.
Hat.
Yep.
She let me borrow her Sharpie. She can get in line. Come on.
Over there, another Hufflepuff? Come on, another Hufflepuff.
Yeah, we need some Ravenclaws.
And a Slytherin.
Slytherin?
Over there.
Ravenclaw.
Over there.
Oh, man, one of the brass band girls has to come up here. One of you girls. Come
okay,
on.
You win with the sign. You get there with your sign.
Oh,
there's somebody over
sign.
Here. There's somebody over
wow.
here. About red shirt? Gryffindor?
Gryffindor.
That's you over there?
Come on.
This might be quite a bit.
There you go.
Okay, that's good.
We're going to do this quickly. We're going to start over on my end, I guess. This will be fun. All right, I guess that would... Oh, no, a Pellegrino accident. Oh, no.
What happened?
The Pellegrino went bye-bye.
A Pellegrino has been lost. And
oh, it was enough Pellegrino time.
It's okay. Okay, so let's start over here. And give us your name and where you're from and what house you're in.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm from outside of Boston. Here I'm a Brubu, but in Hogwarts I'm a Gryffindor.
Woo! Excellent. All right, you ready to play? You know how to play?
All right.
Okay, let's
play
the clip.
Let's go.
It waggled its long ears, making up its tiny mind.
Whatever, we'll see.
Play that one again.
It waggled its long ears, making up its tiny mind.
We've already done this one.
We did this.
It's but hard. It's still hard.
None of us could have got it the first time.
I want to say Prisoner of Azkaban. Because I want to...
It's a good guess.
If it's not... The first thing that came to mind was Dobby or another house elf. But if it's not the thing that everyone thinks it is, I feel like it ought to be one of Lupin's creatures from...
It's a really good guess.
That's an very good guess.
Who thinks it's right?
Well, when we do this...
Who has any idea?
Who thinks
who hasn't heard this on the past show?
Yeah.
Who thinks it's book
Trick
one?
Trick keys with your hands.
Make noise for book one.
Make noise for book two. Book three. You're four. You're wrong. Five. Wrong. Six.
All right, this is going to take way too long. It's book one.
Woo!
Book one. It's the troll.
The troll
had the tiny mind.
Trick question, huh?
The troll in the dungeon. Thought you
tiny mind.
Tiny
exactly.
Mind. Floppy ears.
All right, next up on Guess That Book. Thank you.
Yay.
So
thanks for playing.
I'm Emily from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And here I'm a Coelho, but in Hogwarts I'd be a Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
Woo! All right.
Hit it.
Could have been anything, said Ron. Maybe he got 30 OWLs or saved a teacher from the giant squid. Maybe he murdered Myrtle. That would have done everyone a favor.
Oh, man. Okay, since you're up here, I get nervous and I forget completely.
It takes too long. Well, they said OWL, so that we know that narrows it down.
One of the last few books. Oh, man.
John.
Yeah.
Don't give bum advice. Give bum advice. Be sure of your advice before you give it, okay?
What's wrong with that advice?
You're wrong. That's what's
that's wrong.
We didn't even... Oh, that's right. Oh, crap. My bad.
So now that you're hinting
you
that
have,
it's not
now you have a hint
books.
The other way.
I think it's book two.
You are
yay! What house? Oh, you're Hufflepuff.
We're talking about Tom Riddle and how he got a services to the school award.
That's right.
Job Hufflepuff represent.
You want a tie or a badger?
A tie or a badger.
Okay, while we're doing that.
Okay, next one.
Hi, I'm Angela. I'm in Manchuska, and I would be Gryffindor if I was.
Woo!
I'm a local girl. I'm from Midlothian, Illinois, which is like Chicago suburbs.
Great. Well, are you ready?
Okay.
You can put those away, he growled, stumping over to his desk and sitting down. Those books, you won't need them.
Oh my gosh.
Don't listen to John.
Book, Four.
Woo.
This is not the Price is Right, guys. But you won. Congratulations.
Yeah,
you got that book.
Woo.
Hermione's face.
Mic over for...
Hi, my name is Sophie. I'm from Chicago, and I'm Hufflepuff.
Woo.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, she is, and she's going to get that book.
Eventually.
I'll need to wait for more instructions. Just stay in the house. Good night.
Five.
Oh, that was handled.
Five.
Yeah.
That's right.
Correct.
Drop off.
Wow.
Woo.
You took care of business on that one.
That's pretty quick for a Hufflepuff.
I have you note that the Hufflepuffs have been doing
this is not the place.
That's not called for.
When you're all alone in California and we're all over the country, that's safe. This is not.
Is this a convention full of Hufflepuffs?
I hear them cracking their knuckles.
All right, next.
Hi, I'm Madeline. I'm from Philadelphia. I'm a brew boo on Hufflepuff. Yeah.
Woo! Woo!
Ron seized Scabbers by the tail and aimed a misjudged kick at Crookshanks, but hit the trunk at the end of Harry's bed, causing Ron to hop up and down, howling with pain.
Three.
Yep.
Rock.
A little too easy there.
Hufflepuff victory.
Pick the ones that have an H in front of them, Alex. Which leaky staffer thought that was hard? That's okay.
All right. What's your name? Where are you from? What house?
I'm Cody. I'm from St. Paul, Transylvania. I'm a brew.
Wow. Where's that? Hello.
You know that big of a town. Okay, I'm a brewer at here, and I'm a Slytherin at Hogwarts.
Woo! All right, you ready? Guess that book.
Hello, Professor, she said. Butcher Harry?
Certainly her appearance was less colorful than usual, without her customary shade of bubblegum pink hair.
I don't know. Who has bubblegum pink hair? Especially she's in the microphone, somebody.
Yeah, sorry, it's just me deliberating. I think it's either five or six, but I can't.
Hey, no helping, no cheating. You Slytherin cheating.
All I heard was a half, so that didn't really help me any. I'm going to go with six. Just because
six.
I'm thinking that Remus...
Yep.
Yeah.
Number six.
Number six!
I love the very non-subtle way of this six.
That was very Slytherin.
I thought we had a bunch of a room full of parcel tongues or something. Aww.
Aw. Okay, name, where are you from?
I'm Kat. I'm from Colorado Springs. I'm a Cohilo Ravenclaw.
Woo! All right.
Nice.
Guess that book.
Why him? Asked Harry quickly. Why not Madame Pomfrey? Professor Snape knows much more about the dark arts than Madame Pomfrey, Harry.
Ooh.
Mm. Oh. The Ravenclaw.
I'm going to say book six, but I'm not completely sure.
That's a very good guess.
There you go.
Right.
Talking about the little curse, poor little hand.
These buttons Frack's giving out, by the way, are one-of-a-kind Frack drawings that he pressed into buttons.
Yes.
So.
You know, it's a shame that we didn't work out how to give house points to the actual Terminus houses.
Who can do
this
it?
Game.
Well, I can do it, but I'm not giving it to Slytherins.
You have to give it to winners. Can you only give
what
points
about
to
your
people,
fairness
in your
to
house?
All
I
things,
I actually
Sue.
Think I can only give them to
there are
my
Slytherins
house.
In your house.
Oh. I know there are, but that will be Boo Boo's house.
Oh, I'm sure he's
Boo-Boo
here
anything.
Somewhere.
Really? Okay, name it, where you're from.
I'm Valerie Collins. I'm from Kenosha, Wisconsin. My sweater says I'm in Gryffindor, but I wish I was good enough to be in Hufflepuff.
Oh,
that was sweet.
Kissing up to Sue won't get you any more buttons, but that's okay.
I have to get the answer right.
Let's hear it.
But Hogwarts
right
is hidden,
here.
Said Hermione in surprise. Everyone knows that. Well, everyone who's read Hogwarts, a history, anyway.
Yeah. She's always
does say it a lot, but...
That would be her telling Ron that...
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure that's her telling Ron that muggles can't find Hogwarts. At some point. Oh my god.
Hmm.
Only that's
hard.
Okay. I deserve it.
We can play it one more time.
Yeah, one more time. We missed the beginning.
One more time.
But Hogwarts is hidden, said Hermione in surprise. Everyone knows that. Well, everyone who's read Hogwarts, a history, anyway.
Wow.
Thanks. I was about to say three. I really was about to say three.
I'm not
she
sure
really
about
was about to say
that
three.
Advice.
Okay, no.
Number four.
You got a button anyway, because that was really, really hard.
Hard. Here
were
you go.
Were they talking about going to the Triwizard Tournament?
Yes, that's what it was.
And if people
have to do the Quidditch thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
we're running low on time, so quick name.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Audrey. I'm from Rochester, Michigan.
Yeah.
Woo!
And I am a Matanuska here, and I am a Gryffindor at Hogwarts.
Yay!
Woo! Yeah.
Apart from his friends, the thing that Harry missed most about Hogwarts was Quidditch, the most popular sport in the magical world. Highly dangerous, very exciting, and played on broomsticks.
That's book two.
No?
Oh.
Oh,
that's okay.
Sorry. Which book was it, Alex? Book three.
Fun for playing. And now this is Josh, who some of you might have seen it at Reggie's if you were very careful last night.
I was not there. Farrah Lawind was there.
Farrah.
I was not there.
Fabulous.
Josh, I'm a Leaky Staffer. I'm from Austin, Texas, and I'm a Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw.
It was a sound Harry recognized, though he had heard it only once before in his life. Phoenix song.
Oh. It's six.
Oh.
Seven.
Oh.
Four.
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 Oh,
wait,
it's a good
year after Cedric.
Perhaps well, when the...
Ah, what?
It was
after
Cedric.
Oh. Oh, well.
Not bad.
Thank you, guys. Woo!
And that's how we play Guess That Book. You can hear more of Guess That Book on a weekly episode of Pottercast, where we'll call you if you want to play. You can send staff@pottercast.com your number or Skype name, and we'll call you live when we record, and you can be on the show and win nothing. But it's fun.
We've missed it.
W3.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time we've been here, nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when we're having fun.